Jeff, you bad
Welcome to the podcast, Internet World. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 847 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. In today's episode, we're going to talk about selecting male plants for breeding. Before we jump into that, I do want to give you a quick heads up. There will not be a podcast episode next week. I'm going to take a little short vacation. I'm going to take the week off of podcasting. I will be back in 2 weeks with fresh new content. Now, let's jump into the main portion of today's podcast. I do have a website. That website, of course, is iregenetics.com. On the top of that website, there is a row of tabs. One of those tabs does say Grow Help or Grow Questions. If you click on that tab and send me a good grow question, if I read your grow question here on the podcast, I will send you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. Today's question, of course, was about selecting male plants for breeding. The question came from our new friend, Bearclaw. Bearclaw, big shout out, my bro. Make sure you check your inbox and check your spam folder because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. Now, the question from Bearclaw goes a little bit like this. It says, Yo, Rasta Jeff, what steps do you take to identify a breeder male? Do you compare against multiple males of the same strain or just save a particularly hardy male when you do find one? Now, that is a really good question. This does spark a lot of conversation in my mind. I feel like I'm fairly good at selecting male plants. I've got a lot of confidence in selecting male plants and breeding pairs. I think that shows in my selection of King Solomon. King Solomon was my Arise male. It is a golden goat female pollinated by a Daybreaker male that made Arise plants. I found a male plant in that batch that was so good. He got his own name. He is called King Solomon. You can do some research on King Solomon if you'd like to know more about why I named him that. But King Solomon has been used in hundreds of crosses. I've made probably 100. I want to realistically say 100 different crosses with King Solomon, and probably 95 of them were complete fire. Everything King Solomon touched turned to gold. He was an awesome breeding plant. I think another good example of my male selection is the Jack the Ripper male that I selected from the seeds from Subcool. Shout out to my buddy Subcool. That Jack the Ripper male made more amazing progeny. The Blueberry Butcher, the Jack Tripper, of course, all the Jack the Ripper F2s. I feel like I did a very good job at selecting that one. Another great male that I do use, of course, is the BC Lemon Skunk male. That male is super vigorous, super hardy. It puts amazing aromas and flavors into things. It does take a little bit of time to flower in some crosses, but I like that. Not everybody does, but I do enjoy a longer flowering plant. What's another good male that I have selected? Oh, the male chocolope that I selected to make the Big Mountain Fudge Cake. That was another amazing male plant that made a lot of great progeny, which most of those have not been released. So stay tuned. Maybe, just maybe, I'll put out more of those chocolope crosses in the future. But those are many, if not all of the male plants which I have selected that I've used in my breeding projects that show that I do have a pretty good eye for selecting male plants. So let's talk a little bit about how I choose these plants for selection. There are a lot of things we could talk about, a lot of ways to open this up. The first thing I want to talk about is have a goal. Every good breeding project needs a goal in mind. Your male plant is going to be half of your outcome. So have an idea of what you want to create because your male is going to contribute to half of that. Your progeny will have half of the attributes that your male plant has got. So keep that in mind. Also, you're going to have attributes from those female plants which we breed it to, but have a goal in mind is going to be my first thing to talk about. If you're breeding, have a goal. A lot of times you may just stumble across a stellar male plant that just talks to you and you don't have a goal. That always works. But if you really want to start a solid breeding project, have a goal in mind. I recommend learning about Mendel charts, allele charts, and doing things like that. Now let's actually focus in on selecting these male plants. Let's hypothetically say that we acquired a 10-pack of regular male-female seeds. We've got 10 seeds. We are going to germinate those 10 seeds. Now, most likely, we are going to find 5 males and 5 females. The numbers could be skewed a little bit, but for this scenario, for this selection process, we got lucky. We got 5 beautiful males, 5 beautiful females. We're going to put the female plants away for now. This conversation, we're going to focus on selecting this male plant for breeding. Now, amongst these 5 male plants, you said something at the beginning here that got my attention. You said, save a particularly hardy male when you find one. Now, that that set off a buzzer in my head because I usually do not choose the most hardy male in a selection. So let's just say I've got these five male plants. The first one, maybe the first two to show me that it's male, is not my breeding candidate. Those are not the plants I want to choose for a couple of reasons. First of all, that plant is probably going to get real tall and real stretchy and be real fibrous. It would be an amazing hemp plant. If I wanted to make fibers, ropes, textiles, something like that, this plant would be beautiful, but that's not what I'm breeding for. I want to make sticky, icky buds with high potency, a lot of trichomes, beautiful colors, flavors, and aromas. So I don't want that hemp kind of plant, that long, stretchy, super structury, branchy plant. That's not what I'm breeding for. I'm breeding for a different thing. My other idea about this plant is those first two plants to show that they are male, they're a little bit too male dominant. The way that I can describe that is, think about this. Imagine Brock Lesnar. Many of you already know who Brock Lesnar is. Many of you may not have any clue. Brock Lesnar was a UFC fighter, was also a professional wrestler. He's a big dude. He was also a power lifter. He is a gigantic man. I'm a big dude, and I think Brock Lesnar is fucking gigantic compared to me. He's got to be, I didn't research this, but he's got to be fucking 6'5", 260, something like that, maybe 280. He's a big fucking guy. He's built like a brick shit house. He's nothing but muscle. He is a solid muscular dude. He's a fighter. He's a wrestler. Got a lot of testosterone going on in his body. Big beefy fucking dude. That's how I would compare those first two males to show that they are male in my batch of seeds, which there's nothing wrong with being a big beefy muscular fucking masculine dude. However, when I do my breeding project, I don't want all of my offspring to look just like my starting male. I'd like to have the opportunity for the female plants to express themselves in my breeding project. That is the whole purpose of this idea here. If I wanted to recreate that male plant, I would just recreate that. That's another talk. Now, one thing I want to point out is recently I saw a picture of Brock Lesnar's daughter, and it totally supported this theory that I have had for years. I never knew this until recently. Brock Lesnar's daughter looks just fucking like him. She's a big lifter as well. She's shaped just like him. Got the same face, same facial expression, same hairline. The poor girl looks just like Brock Lesnar, which sort of supports my idea that his genes totally dominated that breeding project. We don't even know what the mom looks like, but I know that that daughter looks just like Brock Lesnar. And I feel like if you take that first male to show that it's a male, you're going to get Brock Lesnar plants out of it. You're not going to get to see their feminine qualities, their beauty. You're just going to get reproductions of that male. And it's also, in my mind, going to be a lot of branchy, stocky, hempy type of plant. So out of these five male plants we've got from seed, I usually do not select the first two or the last one to show me that it's male. Usually it's that third or fourth one is my selection when I'm choosing. Just that's kind of my precursor. I don't like that first one, that second one. Sometimes I'll let it pass if they're not showing me that they are way too cocky, too dominant. If they're not dragging their fucking knuckles on the floor, not drooling, maybe perhaps I'll let those slide. But that is kind of a rule of thumb, like my first little screener of when I'm growing seeds, what I see, did this male pop out right away and become way too vigorous? Also, that male plant that tries to get real, real tall and grow way above everybody, that plant's got to go. Don't breed with that one because guess what it's going to do? It's going to breed a bunch of me, tall and fucking skinny and lanky, and you don't need that in the garden. So my first step of advice, the first step was to have a goal, have something in mind which you want to create. My second step of advice is out of those five male plants, out of that pack of seeds, don't pick numbers one and two to show you that they're a male. Keep an eye on three and four. Those are probably your good candidates for breeding. Now let's talk a little bit more about visual traits that I do see in these male plants to help us identify if they are good breeding candidates. Of course, they've got to fit the criteria for your goal. Do you want to make tall, slender plants? Do you want to make short, squatty plants? Do you want to make plants with big, fat, wide leaves? Do you want to make plants with narrow, skinny leaves? Do you want to make plants that give you a crazy head buzz? Do you want to make plants that make you chill out and want to take a nap? That is all going to have to do with your selection. So keep all of that in mind. But visually, things that we can see are basic structure. Is this male plant sturdy? Is it stout? Is it able to hold itself up? If you had a female plant with that structure that had buds on it and big flowers on it, would that be a good shape and a good frame to support a nice amount of weight and flowers on that plant? Or is this male plant wispy, falling over, not able to support itself? Once it gets big into flower, does the top start tipping over? Do the bottom start flopping everywhere? Think about the shape, the frame, and the structure of this plant, because that is going to play heavily into your progeny. Much of the shape and structure will show up in the children. So think about that. What about leaf size and shape? That gives us a lot of details about how long it will take to flower, about what type of buzz to expect from it. So look at the leaf size and shape, because the structure, the leaf size and shape, that's all going to play into the progeny. How about vigor? How quickly does this plant grow? When he sprouted the seed, how quickly did it take off? How long did it take for that first set of true leaves to come? How did it veg? Also think about abuse. Did this plant tolerate any abuse? Did you give it a drought? Did you overwater it? Did it get spider mites? Was it resistant to pathogens and pests? Those are all things to think about when looking for a male plant. But visually, we can see leaf size and shape. We can see structure of the plant overall. We can see sturdiness of the branches. Then we can also see if there is any color. Is this plant putting out any cool colors? If the plant displays cool colors, you just might get some colors passed down into your progeny. You may get some purple, some dark colored offspring if you've got some cool colored plants. How about trichomes? Does your male plant put out trichomes? I definitely love to breed with the male plant that puts out trichomes, because that translates into more trichomes in the progeny. What about branching style? Some plants like to go up and then they branch out real wide. Some plants like to go kind of up and then they just put a lot of equal lateral branches off to them. Some branch off almost sideways. Some branch off almost straight up. Pay attention to the branching. Also, something to think about, take a clone off this plant. How easily does it clone? Because that will play into your progeny. Now, how long does it take to flower? Are you going to flower this plant? I like to flower my male plants before I use them for anything. I'll flower that plant out and see how long it takes to flower. How long does it take for that plant to start showing me flower clusters? How long until I get pollen? How much pollen does this plant put out? If it only puts out a little bit of pollen, it might not be worth breeding. If it's a dumper with pollen, we're going to love that if all the other traits line up. Does it smell good? We've talked about that before. Give it a stem rub. Smell that stem. Does it smell good? Let it get into flower a little bit. Smell those flowers. Do they have good aromas? Some of those aromas and flavors will translate to the progeny. Something I say a lot, I like a breeder male that smells like a bar trash can and hot vomit. I know that sounds weird, but that always translates to good offspring. What about flowering time? We talked about this briefly a moment ago. When you initiate flower on this male plant, how long does it take to show you I'm a male plant? How long does it take to say I'm going to really start banging out male flowers? How long does it take to start dropping pollen? How long does it continue to drop pollen? How big does that big male cluster get when you get laid into flower with this male plant? And yes, I recommend flowering your male plant 7, 8, 9, maybe 10 weeks if you can do it. See what this bad bitch does. See if it herms on you. See if it shows you any problems. See if it can handle any stress. See if it does weird shit at week 9, because sometimes you'll notice things late in flower that you did not notice early on, and you may be glad you didn't select that plant. Where are we? Pollen time and amount. I've said this a moment ago. Does it put out enough pollen? I'm a breeder. I breed for commercial purposes. If I've got a plant that only puts out sprinkles of dust, that old dude doesn't get to party in my room. I need a young dude that's ready to throw out a big amount of pollen so I can make a big amount of seeds. What about flower size and shape? I look for a male plant with a nice, big, fat top cola. That tells me that, guess what? My offspring is going to make a big, fat top cola. Is it shaped well? I like when the top cola is not just long and skinny. I want it to get kind of bulky and kind of fat. That's something that I like. Also, the shape really matters. I talked about trichomes a moment ago. What other notable characteristics do you see in this male plant that stand out to you? Because all of those traits are going to pass along into your offspring. So I look for a male plant from seed that doesn't flower too quickly, isn't too eager to show me that it's a dude. I like a male plant with a nice structure and shape. What does that mean? That all depends on what my goal is. Something that can support itself, something that can tolerate popping and twisting, a little bit of super cropping, if you will. I like to pop and twist the plants. I do a little bit of defoliation. Does that stuff stress out the plant? Does my basic function in the grow room stress out that plant? If it does, I don't want to work with it. Something I specifically think about, am I breeding these seeds for me to play with to make more new shit, or am I breeding these for the market? I may choose different males if I'm breeding it for my personal use or if I'm breeding it as something to put out to the market. I need something more easy to grow, more reliable for the market. I can breed the challenging 16-week shit, real weirdos, finicky feeders, that shit, that's for me. So sometimes I make a decision in that. So I'm looking at them visually. I'm looking at the leaf size, the leaf shape. I'm looking at the color. I'm giving it a smell. I'm trying to give them a little bit of a drought. I'm trying to overwater them. I like to see if they clone well. What's the use of having this plant if I cannot clone it? So I'll definitely take a couple of clones, and I'll take one in. I use rapid rooters in a dome. I also like to use an easy cloner. Maybe I'll take a clone in both and see which one loves it and which one doesn't love it. If they both love it, we're in business. We're going to definitely use this plant in a project. What else can I cover for you? I wrote down noticeable characteristics. What stands out to you? Sometimes when you walk by a plant, you just go, oh, that plant right there. And this is, I call this my breeder intuition. I always say learn Mendel charts, learn allele charts, read about Robert Connell Clark's botany books, learn about all of the breeding books from Greg Green, learn every breeding book, learn about what Gregor Mendel was up to. Then when it all comes down to breeding, forget all of that and breed with intuition, grow from your heart and breed with love. When I walk through a commercial facility, or sometimes I'll be at a friend's grow and I'll see a plant and I'll go, bro, that one. It's just like when you're at a concert or at the club or sometimes even at the fucking grocery store or quite often at Target. Settle down, ladies, at Target. But you'll fall in love. You'll be walking through and you'll be like, damn, that's the one. That's how breeding with plants works for me. I fell in love with a lot of plants in commercial facilities that I've been in through the years. So I'll see this plant and I'll say, something about this plant is special. And then we'll grow it a bunch of times and it'll get to experience a drought, overwatering, overfeeding, underfeeding, perhaps a spider mite attack. Maybe we'll get powdery mildew. And in a commercial grow, I get to see how all these plants react to all that. And then when they react right, that's when I go ahead and get myself a cut, enter that into my garden, and we start breeding with it. So I've seen a lot of beautiful things in other gardens. I've got a beautiful cut of the cream. I haven't talked too much about this yet. I found a cut of the cream in a local friend's grow. I've got a friend that I work with. He used to live right down the street. I found a beautiful cut of the cream in his garden. He does not want his name said on the show. Shout out, bro. You know who you are. I know you listen. You're probably listening with your wife. Shout out, wife, also. But anyway, my friends found a beautiful phenotype of the cream. I've got a cut of that, and I plan to reverse that and make feminized seeds with that in the future because that plant was just so beautiful. I hit every note. When I saw it in veg, I was like, that thing's going to do something special. Early in flower, I smelled it. I was like, damn, this bitch is a winner. Later on in flower, it kind of lost some of the aroma, but the veg shape and structure and time was beautiful. When it went into flower, the flowering time was beautiful. It set bud set beautifully. It wasn't over leafy. It had enough leaf to keep the plant alive, but it was easy to trim. When it got more into flower, the buds got beautiful. They got beautiful colors to them. It got real thick layers of trichomes. This plant was beautiful. So that is a beautiful female plant that just spoke to me, and I've chosen that to be one of my next reversals. I've got a couple things lined up, but that is definitely getting pushed up the list because it impressed me so much. So sometimes I'm just walking through a grow, just minding my own business, and holy shit, that plant is beautiful. Something just calls me. Something just dings at me. Like I said, when you're at the club, when you're at wherever you go, do your thing. For me, it's sometimes a drum circle, a fish concert, Dead & Co. Who knows where I could be? Sometimes you just see somebody and your jaw drops and your eyes go blah, 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 like a cartoon, and you want to breed with that person. I have the same feeling about plants. I feel like I'm a plant matchmaker. I just see two plants and I go, hey, Solomon, do you know Strawberry Star or Strawberry Fields? You guys get together and a couple weeks go by and we have got Strawberry Starburst plants. All right, I'm super rambling and kind of losing track of where I am. So let me get myself back on focus. Now, once you feel like you have selected a male plant, there's only one tried and true way to make sure that this dude is what you think he is. And that is, in my opinion, to pollinate multiple females. I've been preaching this method for quite a while now. Why do I say pollinate multiple females? Because if you pollinate only one female plant with this male, we only get to see what the interaction is with one plant and one set of offspring. So let's just say, and I'm going to just start getting creative here. Let's just say we've got a chocolate plant. Everybody would like a chocolate male plant. This plant is, it smells like chocolate. It looks like chocolate. It's called chocolate something. We got a chocolate plant. Now let's just say we got a strawberry plant. I want to breed chocolate to strawberry. That sounds fucking delicious, right? We're probably going to get a lot of chocolate strawberry phenotypes. That's cool. That doesn't tell us a lot. That tells me that when I breed chocolate to strawberry, I get chocolate strawberry. I have no gauge of what's really going on other than I can see strawberry traits and I can see chocolate traits. I know that. These two plants, they breed that way. why I want to breed it to multiple plants, let's put chocolate to bananas, and let's also put chocolate to vanilla. And then when we do that, we're going to grow out all those seeds. And now we can see the commonalities that come from this male plant. Do we get big fat leaves in all of the crosses? Because if all of the crosses show big fat leaves, that shows me that's coming from that male plant. So if I cross that same chocolate plant to strawberry, vanilla, and banana, and only banana gives me big fat leaves and strawberry and vanilla give me skinny leaves, maybe it's the banana cross that is making those big leaves. If neither one of the plants showed big leaves in the parent plant, that could be a recessive trait that we didn't know was coming. So that's why I recommend breeding that plant to multiple things. You may see traits pop up in the breeding that you didn't realize were coming from that male. We don't know. So if you see a recessive trait, like I just mentioned, let's say we cross that chocolate to the strawberry and we get, they've both got really skinny leaves, and we cross those together and we get real big leaves out of the progeny. Which one of those made that? Because that is a recessive trait that we've never seen before. I don't know if that came from the male or the female. Also, let's talk about the dreaded intersex, the hermaphrodite trait. If I cross my male to one plant and those seeds are hermaphrodites or intersex, how do I know if it came from that female or that male plant? If I run that male to three different girls, if one of them shows intersex, it's likely it was that one female that held the intersex trait. If two of them are solid and not intersex, we probably got a good male. If all three of them are intersex, guess what? It's the male that is doing it. So that's why I recommend using that male to multiple females to actually see what he is doing, what he actually brings to the mix. And then what's more fun than running three different sets of new seeds and finding out what you created and what comes out of those. Now, I feel like I've been going super quickly and I did take a lot of dabs, but I also did want to stay focused and keep this show focused on selecting a male plant. So I'm going to do a quick review, and then I think we're going to wrap up this podcast and we're going to get packed up so we can go see Dead & Co. at the Sphere. Really quickly, I think the most important part is having a goal. Any project, if it's a breeding project, a building project, even when you're just driving somewhere, you've got to have a goal or you're not going to get there. So start off with a goal. It doesn't have to be a super crazy goal. I want to make seeds that look like plant A and plant B together. That could be your goal, but write that down so that you've got a real goal in mind. Then I recommend learning to make Mendel charts, allele charts. Learn about that stuff. Like I said, learn Mendel charts, allele charts. Study all of the breeder books you can. Learn about dominant traits. Learn about codominant. Learn about gene transfer. Learn about recessive traits. Learn about all of that stuff. Then when it comes time to breeding, forget about all that and grow from your heart, breed with love, and use intuition. Then when it comes to selecting the male plant, find the plant that reaches your goal, if that is possible, or gets you as close to your goal as possible. Something with the shape and structure that you're looking for, the leaf size and shape that you're looking for, something that grows well, something that flowers in the amount of time that you're looking for. Find the plant that suits your needs. I'm telling you the things that I like in a male plant, but you've got to find the one that suits your needs. I can get you pretty close with ideas and descriptions, but you've got to find the dude that is for you. Don't be discouraged if your first breeding project doesn't give you the outcome you want. So find that male that grows in the amount of time. It's got the shape, the structure, the leaf size, the leaf shape, the colors, the big flower structure that you're looking for. Do you trellis your plants? Do you manipulate them a lot? Do that to this male plant. See how he handles that. Keep in mind that the male plant is going to contribute heavily to the structure of your progeny. So select a male plant that's got the shape and the structure that you are looking for. I know it's hard to test a male plant for pathogen resistance, for pest resistance, but if you've got the opportunity, definitely subject that male to some abuse and see how he responds. Give that plant, like I've said before, some stress. Stress him out a little bit. Drought him a little bit. Drown him a little bit. Don't do both back to back. That may be a bit, but give him a little bit of stress. Give him some drought stress, overwater, underfeed, overfeed. See how it responds to all of that. Because if you're like myself, if you're a commercial breeder, you're going to make those seeds and send them out to people. And then all of those growers, no offense to you guys, many of you are learning, you are going to overfeed them. You're going to underfeed them. You're going to give them drought conditions. You're going to put them in fucked up environments. And I am okay with that because you're a new grower and that's what you're supposed to do. But I breed plants that I feel like are going to be resistant to that and tolerant to that. If you're breeding in a room that gets super hot and it's real humid in there and it never gets a dry time, grow your male plants in there and find a male plant that tolerates that super hot room and tolerates that super, super humid area, then you will find a plant that works perfectly in your room and the offspring have already got a head start. That's a lot like a farmer that has selected seeds outdoor over generation over generation. He's bred them in his outdoor environment. He's made the right selections. You are on the same path doing the same thing indoors if you use that sort of a method. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pimps and hoes, friends and foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, pollen chuckers, all of you beautiful cannabis enthusiasts out there, I'm sure you could tell my voice is burning out. It has been a long week. I'm going to wrap up this podcast. My dude Bearclaw, once again, make sure you check your inbox for that coupon code for the free pack of seeds. If you have been sending me grow questions and I have not read your question here on the podcast, please do not feel discouraged. I will keep reading questions on the show and I will keep giving away free seeds. So stay tuned, keep watching, and also keep sending those grow questions because I do plan to keep reading more. Can't stop, won't stop. If you have any questions, corrections, comments, or concerns, you know I would love to hear from you. The email address is growfromyourheart@hotmail.com. Don't be shy. I know I went super quickly on this episode, so if I missed something, I do look forward to your constructive criticism, the positive feedback, or if it's hate mail, don't be shy. I can handle that as well. Make sure you guys hit the website, iregenetics.com. That's where the Grow Help tab is. There's also a link to iRedirect. You can get the seeds at iredirect.com. You can get the merchandise on the merch tab. There's a link to the Discord server. There's a link to Patreon. Everything you could possibly need is at iregenetics.com. All right, my voice is toast. I'm going to wrap up the podcast. I'll be back in 2 weeks with fresh new content. I want to give a big shout out to my buddy Trippy Hippie. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me.
Rasta Jeff, you bad mother.
Time to take another dab. Grab your piece in and hug up on the back. Rasta Jeff is in the lab. Sit back, hug him up, relax. Oh.